I'm going to look at a psalm tonight, and it's the same psalm as I read the other Sunday night when we were doing the testimony night. And when I read it, something stuck with me, and then Pastor Chris read it again the other Sunday as well, not knowing that I'd read it on the testimony night, and I thought, do you know what? I really need to sit down and have a look at this. So this has been on my mind for a couple of weeks, and it's just this, Psalm 29. And I just want to look at Psalm 29 tonight as a whole. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Do you feel like a heavenly being? Well, you are. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Is this a bit loud? All right. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf. Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert in Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in the temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I just want to unpack this a little bit tonight. And you might think this is ever so simple, and it probably is. But you know what? I just want this psalm just really spoke to me this last couple of weeks when I've been looking at it, and when it's been on my mind, I'm like, where do I go with this? Where do we look at this? And what does it really mean? You know, we can read Psalms, we can read verses of Scripture, we can read Scripture, and we think, yeah, they're nice. But you know what? Sometimes, doesn't it really just settle that you need to know what it means? You need to know what it's really saying. And I just want to look at this. Ascribe. If you ascribe something, it's either an event or a condition to a particular cause. You say or consider that it was caused by this thing. Okay. If you ascribe quality to someone, you consider that they possess it. Do you ascribe something to others around you? And it means that they possess what you ascribe, what you describe them as, how you describe them as. If you ascribe something such as a quotation or a work of art or something, you say that it is created in it. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly being. When we look at these first couple of verses, what do we really ascribe to God? Now, you know, when we ascribe something, when we like something, usually it's something personal. Every one of us can think we like something and we think that it's awesome, it's great. And we ascribe to it the greatness that we possess it has. And when we look at it, we think, that is awesome. But you know, here it's saying, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. And what's it saying to God? Possess it. Glory and strength. It says to God, we're to ascribe to him all the glory and strength and the splendor and holiness that's due to his name. So just think about this. Glory. Ascribing glory to God. Now, you know, we ascribe glory to many things. Each and every one of us does. There's not any of us that don't ascribe glory to something or whatever. But here, it's saying we're to ascribe the glory to God. That's something that each and every one of us should do. Each and every one of us, God has put within us that we are to worship and glorify God from within. Ascribing to God glory and strength is not our own strength. Because there's many a time we haven't got the strength to glory in what God's got for us. We're weak. Our bodies feel weak. Our minds feel weak. We ache. We can't do this. We can't do that. But the strength of God that comes from within us when we worship Him and when we ascribe Him the glory and strength that's due to His name, inner strength and the strength of God shows within each one of us and flows out from each one of us. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, splendor and holiness. Now, when you look at something, do you look at something and think, oh, that looks nice? Or, I don't like the look of that. I really don't like that. But you know, God doesn't look at us like that at all. He doesn't see us as somebody that He doesn't like. And He wants us to look at Him in the same manner. He wants us to look at Him in the splendor. Now, when you think of splendor, it says when He was on the cross, they looked at and they couldn't work out what He looked like. He was marred and scarred beyond recognition. But you know what? We see that as splendor. You know why? That's what God sent Him to earth. That's what He sent Him to do. He sent His Son to die on Calvary in the most awful manner possible that we may see Him in the splendor of holiness. Ascribe to the Lord. We look upon the cross and we think, what on earth really took place? And to a lot of people it's foolishness, but to those that God has put it in their hearts, it is the way of salvation. And you know what? That's within each and every man and woman, is the heart of salvation. But the only time they see it is when they see God in His true likeness. When they see Him in the true splendor. When they come to an understanding of having their spiritual eyes opened. They see Him in that splendor. We can look at all sorts of things and we think that looks fantastic. We can look at pictures and that looks gorgeous. You know, we can look at cars, we can look at sports and we can think they're great. But you know what? Do we look upon God and think, is splendor? Do we look upon Him in the same way? Do we sit and look and do we sit and ponder what He's got for us and we say, in the splendor of holiness, I see Jesus. How do you see Jesus? You know, when we think about it, when we look at it, we look at the cross and then we go to the tomb and we see the splendor of the empty tomb. You know, when those disciples got to that tomb, they walked in fear and trepidation because they knew what the ladies had told them, that Jesus is no longer there. And they walked in and they saw it for themselves that He's not here. But everything was folded up neatly. Hadn't left in a hurry. Tidied things up. He'd left things how they were. And when they'd gone back, Mary was in the garden and she was crying and she was weeping. And she saw Jesus in the splendor of holiness through the tears. She saw there and she heard him. And it comes to that next verse, the voice of the Lord. You know, we heard it this morning from Josiah. When he says, you know, others around him hear the voice of God and know it for themselves. But the voice of the Lord speaks to each one of us. It's whether we want to listen or not sometimes. But you know, here it says in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. And boy, haven't we seen that? And aren't we seeing that? I feel really sorry for these people up in Wade Bay with everything that's going off there. You know what? We've seen waters, haven't we? We know the voice. But the voice of the Lord is over the waters. When you look through Scripture, how many times is it that Jesus speaks out and it's either on the sea, in the sea, or at the side of the sea? And he's always speaking out over the waters. You know, he's in the boat. He's asleep and he's going, the waters obey him. You know, I was in the car yesterday and I got Premier Praise on. And they were looking at the scripture and they said, Jesus went again after he'd come back from the grave. And he went to the side of the sea and he looked out over the waters and he cooked breakfast for the disciples when they were coming back. And he looked out over the waters and they saw him. And Jesus spoke and they came to him on the seashore. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. What do you think is powerful? What do we think is powerful? What do we think power is? Where do we think the power comes from? And we look at power and we think about it in different ways. And we've seen the power of water. You know, fluid and water gets anywhere. It'll find anything. It will creep anywhere. It will creep through things. It will come through things. And it can cause a lot of damage. But the voice of the Lord is over the waters and over the thunder. And, you know, and over the lightning. And when we think of the lightning that we saw 10 days ago now, and we think about that house just up the road here that was hit on Boxway, and the roof collapsed in, and those asleep inside didn't know, but it shook the rest of the street. But you know, the lightning and the thunder can see it. I can sleep through thunder. I can sleep through noise. But they'll tell you, give me light or put lights on, forget it. I can't sleep one bit. But you know, the voice of the Lord thunders over the lightning. The voice of the Lord is powerful. But you know, it's not always the voice of God that speaks, as it says, in the thunder and the lightning and the rain. When we think of Moses, when he heard the voice of the Lord, when he was standing in the cleft of the rock, it was that still, small voice. The voice of the Lord. Do you know it? Have you heard it? He wants you to hear it for yourself. He wants it to be revealed to you, the voice of the Lord. You know, when you hear a voice sometimes, do you hear a special voice? Is there a voice that you like to hear? Is there a certain tone? A certain pitch? A certain thing? And the voice of the Lord, it is. He wants to speak to each and every one of us. He wants us to hear his voice. And it says there, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. the Lord breaks it in pieces in the cedars of Lebanon. And I started looking at cedars. And Dennis is probably going to pick me to bits in a minute. But you know, when you look at the cedar wood, it is very, it's a fine grain. It's a fine grain of wood. It's attractive, they say, in its colour, the yellowness of it. And it's got a fragrance. And yet, it's exceptionally durable and immune to insects ravaging it. I didn't know that till I was looking it up. It's amazing what Google can tell you. But you know, as a density, it's used for... I didn't realise that cedar was used in furniture till I was looking it up. And construction and handicrafts. And yet, cedar really is classed as a softwood. But you know, here it says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. It breaks in pieces. It makes Lebanon leap like a calf. He wants us to leap in him. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The Lord shakes the desert. And I looked up this. I looked up shakes in the desert. What shakes a desert? And I didn't know this, but this is what I found. Okay. On the 6th of July in 2019, yeah, so this year, the strongest earthquake hit California in two decades. And you know what it did? It left a scar in the desert which can be seen from space. What can shake the desert? It says the Lord can. It says the Lord could. The Lord does. He shakes it all. And the magnitude of that earthquake was 7.1. It was felt as far away as 560 kilometres away from where the epicentre was. And it left a mark in the desert. And what does it take to leave a mark in the desert? Because normally if you go through a desert, if you go through a sand place and a sand dunes or anything like that, not long after you've gone through, there's been a gust of wind. And it's covered the tracks. And you can't tell where you've been or where you've gone. But it leaves a mark. God can leave a mark in the desert. And you know what? He wants to leave a mark in our lives that transforms us into who he wants us to be. He wants to put a mark in our hearts that takes us back then to that first verse that we ascribe glory and honor and strength to the Lord. He leaves a mark in the desert. The voice of the Lord then can twist the oaks, that hard wood. It can twist the oak. This shows how powerful God is and what he can do to things he has created. But you know, God's created each one of us, and sometimes he has to be strong with us. He has to say to us, I need you to stop doing this. I want you to do this. And we sometimes get twisted about it. We think it's wrong. But God's saying to us, I want you to do this. And how at times do we think, I'm not doing that. That's not for me. And we can be strong. But God wants us to hear his voice. And sometimes when we're strong, he wants to twist us so that he can make us into something beautiful. Something of him. He wants us to make us more of the created beings that he's called us to be. And that he wants us to be. You know, he looks upon us, I've said this before, that he looks upon us in beauty. He looks upon us and he sees us spotless. But the only reason he can do that It's through his son on Calvary. It's through us accepting him on what he did. And doesn't that mean you want to ascribe him some greatness? Doesn't that mean you want to ascribe some glory to him? Doesn't it mean you want to worship him in the splendor of holiness? You know, we can look at each other at sometimes and think they're not wearing the right clothes. I don't like what they're wearing. That wouldn't suit me. Probably right. I'm probably right. It wouldn't suit me. You know, and you go somewhere, and now I was reading the other, again, reading the other day, that, you know, obviously I know that ladies can go into shops and you can have a personal shopper that gets things for you and says, this is, I think this will suit you. But, you know, they've started doing it for men. Don't we know what we like? But you know what? God knows us individually. God has created us who he wants us to be. And he wants us to be beautiful. He wants us to see the beauty in each other. You know why? Because he wants his beauty to shine out. He wants his beauty that's within us to come forth. And he wants it to be that glorious thing. Ascribe to the Lord. Ooh. Glory due to his name. We can go many a place and we can hear the Lord's name not being inscribed, the glory. But he wants us to put it in its rightful place. He wants us to see it and honour it. And as we do that, he wants us to enter into him. He wants us to come into him. And then it says in verse 10 there, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. Sometimes we can feel like we're drowning. But the Lord sits over it tonight. He sits at his Father's right hand. And he's pleading your cause. And he's holding you in his hand. And he wants you to know it. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. Think about that. The King forever. We can live and we can have different bosses, we can have different companies, and we can have different things that are our bosses and this, that, and the other, but he is King forever. He is Lord forever. And he wants us to worship him. He wants us to adore him. And the Lord gives his people strength. He pours in the strength. He pours in the restoring oil. He puts in those marrow, that energy. You know, we can all have different deficiencies. We need vitamins and this, that, and the other. We need sunlight. But you know, God knows exactly what you need for your strength. He knows exactly what you require. And you know what? He's got it tailor-made for you. It's a tailor-made fit. Is God's strength for you. But then, the Lord blesses his people with peace. And boy, would we like to see some peace. Everywhere we look, everywhere we see, different things are trying to break the peace. There's different things taking place. Even today, there's been peace broken. When we think of the events that have taken place in all different parts of the world today, peace has been broken. But God wants us to know his peace. He wants us to know the peace that we've never known before. Why is that? Because he's within us. He's inside. And he wants us to acknowledge him. And we think of that peace. And we think, where can that peace really come from? Where can I really get hold of that peace? Where can I really know that peace? It's when we're in God's presence. It's when we're in God's company. It's when we know who God is within us. We can go through all sorts of different things, all sorts of trials, and they can play havoc with us. But God wants us to know His peace. Not only that, He wants us to know His strength. So what do we think? How do we... Sometimes we let our feelings, and I'm sure we're all guilty of this, we put our own feelings in how God wants us to be. And we can say, I don't feel like that. Oh, I really feel like doing that. Or, okay. But God never looks at us like that. He never feels that way towards us. He never feels that way towards you or I. All He ever wants to do is pour in His strength and His peace into each one of our lives. He never feels like not doing anything. He just wants to do it. He just wants to bless. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with strength. What strength do you need? What strength do you require? It's in the Father's house. It's sitting in His presence. But it comes from that first bit. Ascribing to Him the glory and strength and the splendor of holiness. It's just ascribing to Him those things that He requires from each one of us. And I've lost a bit of the next script, the scripture I want, but I'll find it. He just wants us to give Him thanks and praise. But He wants to hear it from our own voices. He wants to hear your voice, whether it's talking quietly to Him, whether it's being thunderous with Him. And you know, have you ever shouted at God? You ever shouted at Him? And you know what? He spoke back to you. But 9 times out of 10, I'd say it's in a small, small voice. He whispers to you. And when He whispers to you, you take notice. You find strength and comfort in what He says. And that's what He wants you to be. He wants you to feel comfortable in His presence. He wants you to just enter into all that He's got for us. And He wants us to feel comfortable in all He's got for us. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 3, I urge you, then first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peaceful and quiet lives, in all the goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of His truths. He wants us to have a knowledge of His truth. But He doesn't want us just to have a head knowledge. He wants us to have a heart knowledge of what His truth means for each and every one of us, that we may know His peace. As I say, when we look at see the news, we see what's happened in Iran again, we see what's happened in America again, we see what's happening up the road with all the different things, and we just think, Lord, we want to see You. We want to see You afresh, but we want to see You in Your holiness. We want to see You in Your splendor, and then we'll know His strength and His peace within each one of us. So tonight, just remember this psalm. It starts off with just describing how God is. But you know what? It finishes it. It finishes that psalm with what God wants to do for you and I. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. And the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He wants to bless you tonight in a way that you've never understood. He wants you to know truly who he is. Amen.